We are going to continue looking at Baal and what's going on in our mind that we so love to use. So go to Isaiah chapter 2. Start in chapter 1, verse 10. Well, let's go. I keep changing.
All right, start in Ecclesiastes.
Verse 1.
Isaiah 1:1.
Shut up, Pete. The vision of Isaiah the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Now, finally, people begin to hearken unto Isaiah at the end, and that's what created Isaiah's prophecies are what created Hezekiah's Passover, which became one of the greatest Passovers ever. That's when they burned all of the idolatry and threw it all down and cast it and put it all. Anyway, so this is the beginning of Isaiah. This is the beginning of his walk. And this was in 740 BC. So it's things never change. Our idolatries are still those of the house, the ancients of the house of Israel. The same, nothing changes. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah, Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. The Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know my people, doth not consider. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity. Now remember, every time iniquity is used, it's self-seeking. It's Avin. Or Avon. Avon calling. So, think in terms of self-seeking or self-realization. We're going to look at a scripture in a minute that says, how long will it be before you come to innocency or return to innocency? But anyway, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? Yea, you will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound, neither mollified with ointment. Now, 740 years before Christ, this is what Isaiah saw regarding religious people. Amen?
Those are religious people. What about all people?
Well, but he's not concerned with all people. He's concerned first with Israel as the representative of the human race.
He says he's talking about a sinful nation. He's talking about the whole nation of Israel here.
Right, but again, they represent us, always.
Right.
Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land strangers devour in your presence. And it is desolate as an overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant. Now the word that they translated as very small remnant is the word for seed. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a seed, we should have been as Sodom and should have been like unto Gomorrah. You got to remember that. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a seed, we should have been as Sodom and made like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. He's talking to Jerusalem now, and he's talking to us, to our minds. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah.
What's the time frame for Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed?
I can't answer that right now, but it was obviously before this.
Okay. Just curious.
Yes.
Concurrent with Abraham.
Right, so it would be almost 2000 B.C. This would have been 1,300 years before this, or something like that. All right. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I delight not in the blood of bullocks or lambs or of he-goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand, to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. Now, he's talking about the law that he gave them. And he said, it's nothing. Why? It's nothing because they didn't see the mystery in the law. Amen? And again, it got to the point, and it always went up and down about every 40 years, it seems, that they thought that because they were genetically the seed of Israel, or by birthright, they had a right to enter into heaven. The same as now. We say, I've accepted Jesus as my personal Savior, therefore I'm going to heaven. It never has been like that, and it never will be. It's all about being conformed to that image, being transfigured by the renewing of your mind. It's always been and always will be. Amen?
I'm going to ask a really, you sound like a smart, you know what, question. And I know you'll answer it, or I'll swear I will understand it.
I have no idea what you just said.
I just asked a question.
Huh? No, but no, after you said you had the question, then you put a coda of some.
Right, and you'll clarify it, I know.
Oh.
And this, everybody's getting on me, so I don't care, because I don't care. How can you renew something that's dead?
You can't.
The renewing of the mind. Renewing of the
What it is, what that means, it's simply emptied. That's what the goal of it is, so that the test is along to see whether that Christ in you will continue by you as the vehicle on the path, on the way, or whether you will continue to use your mind. Therefore, you haven't emptied. Therefore, you're a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Really, another word for doing is continuous repentance.
while it's again, when our word for repentance seems like it's the same as the word for humility in the scriptures. It doesn't mean, it means that you have absolutely no trust in any of your senses, that you could by those senses see and know the truth. That's fundamentally, as opposed to acting as a brute beast, which means you perceive and live by your senses. You see at instead of seeing through. Now, it's always been that way. Cain didn't see through. Abel did. Verse 15, when you spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Cease, and all that means is cease to be of the evil one. Learn to do well. How do you learn to do well? There's only one who doeth well when you're out of the way. Again, what we want Christ to do is we want him to arise and just continue, you know, I don't know even how to say it. We want him to come and, if we're doing something that we know to be evil, we want him to come and slap us or give us a slight admonition. He doesn't do that. Wherever you are, he isn't. It never changes. It's never been from the beginning. Learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Now he says it. Now this is the famous scripture. It's one of the most famous scriptures, the most misused scriptures in the Bible. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. The highest that reason can take you is that your sin as a scarlet. But the essence of sin isn't your actions. It's you, your soul, your being, your essence. This is why abandonment has to be the predicate, because you're walking away from a pile of crap. You're walking out of Sodom and Gomorrah because you've seen the fruitlessness of it, the emptiness of it. Haven't seen the emptiness of it, you can't walk out of it. If you're still giving importance to things in the world, you can't walk out of the world. You may say you're doing it by sorcery. It's like the same as, you know, all right, God inhabits the praises of his people, so now let's praise so we inhabit us. No. It's backwards. Otherwise, it's sorcery. Call everybody brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. That's, they're trying to create a situation by their words. That's sorcery. It's the same as the all that crap about the word faith movement. But don't you do the same? You create reality by your words, and your words are your thoughts. It's sorcery. Mm. Every day, in every way, I'm becoming a better and better person. There are self-realization groups that still teach that crap. It's the antithesis of truth. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be like red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land.
Well, then in verse 18, it's as though he may be talking about trespasses, because he talks about sins, they shall be, they will be. That's all in the Hebrew, right? It's not sin singular, is it? Here, I mean, in this verse.
I don't know, Pete. I'll have to check it. But it sounds right. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now again, how is this faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment, righteousness. Righteousness lodged in it. But now, murderers. Thy silver is become dross, thy wine mixed with water. You understand? You see that parable, the first miracle. He turned the water into wine. Now deceit is called, in the New Testament, deceit is means a word that means adding water to the wine for the purposes of commerce.
Yeah, it's the opposite.
Your wine is mixed with water. The mystery, the bride is mixed, trying to be mixed with the whore. It can't happen. Well, let's we'll never finish. Let's go to chapter 2 now. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established. Now, remember, mountains, it doesn't mean a mountain. It's the highest in rank or position. The highest place is the New Jerusalem. That's the mountain of the Lord. You got it? It says, what it's in Psalm 48, it says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, for every situation, the joy of the entire world. Is this Mount Zion, the New Jerusalem, shrouded in a mystery, the city of the great king? In that state, it shall come to pass in the last day that this new Jerusalem is the reality. Shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. All nations are flowing into the mountain. You can't flow into a mountain. The mountain came down. That's what happened. The New Jerusalem is our surrounding reality. It's everything if you have eyes to see. You see through to see only him. But when you look at, you can only see, judge by your senses. So you're as a brute beast. Right, we will buy because we will always, without exception, call evil good and good evil. And many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and we will He will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall any learn war anymore. What does it mean to beat your shares? They beat their swords into plowshares. And their what?
Spears.
And their spears and the pruning hooks. So what happens? All of the judgments that you make really are a sword. And whatever you judge another person of, you're guilty of. So instead of becoming a sword for the purpose of murder, and you remember from a standpoint of God, hating is murder. And hate is anything other than what? Anything other than love. So you beat your swords into plowshares, and that's a digging instrument to see that it's your own sin that you're causing to judge another person. And instead of using the spear, it becomes a pruning hook to lop off the idiocies of our own experiences and our judgments.
Yeah, the plowshares, you're planting seeds instead of murdering.
Well, finding, yeah. Oh man, I thought we were going to be in all time different places.
One of the phrases we use, one definition about the life of againstness, that's
what peace is.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
All right, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 13. Verse 20. Lift up your eyes and behold them that come from the north. Where is the flock that was given thee, thy beautiful flock? What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? For thou hast taught them to be captains and chief over thee. Shall not sorrows take thee as a woman in travail? And if thou say in thine heart, wherefore come these things upon me? For the greatness of thine iniquity are thy skirts discovered and thy heels made bare. Now what's he talking about? It's talking about making outward changes. We have a system. We got to go back to this beginning. You had to learn that certain grunts and groans meant a word. And then you had to learn that certain scribbles represented that word. And everything about the human race is based on that aspect, that process. That's how we get our judgments. That's how we get our opinions. That's how we take our stands. Because it's a system that's geared, and especially in English, it's geared toward self-realization. All the words and all of the, and the writings are geared toward not just, it's the self-realization. That's why, and we've talked this many times, that's why English is the language of ownership. That's why I don't want to go all there, but. Verse 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Are the leopards his spots? Then may you also do good that are accustomed to do evil. It's not even accustomed there. It's you are trained to do evil. Can Ethiopian change his skin? Can a leopard change his spots? No. That's why you and I, the human race, cannot do good, because it is based on the need for self-realization. That's why where these goofy theologies come from. They come from a mind being trained to see everything in terms of how it benefits self. It's so endemic. It's like we're back to this idea of a fish trying to describe the ocean. We have to look at this mystery of God from outside of us. Otherwise, we'll use the same lies that created us to make our understanding of God. Therefore will I scatter them as the stubble that passeth away by the wind of the wilderness. This is thy lot, the portion of thy measures from me, saith the Lord. Because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. Therefore will I discover thy skirts upon thy face, and thy shame may appear. I have seen thine adulteries and thy neighings, and the lewdness of thy whoredom, and thine abominations on the hills and the fields. Woe unto thee, O Jerusalem! Wilt thou not be made clean? When shall it once be? You're only made clean by your emptiness. That's what the mind of Christ is all about. Then faith becomes as natural as breathing. And it's almost without exception that your mind will never want the fruit of faith. It's incapable of desiring the fruit of faith because it desires the opposite. So he's talking about the Jerusalem, your Jerusalem that now is. And it's corrupt. It can't be fixed. My mind, your mind, the human race's mind is the only enemy of God in time and space. And yet I hear it every time I listen in some way. God gave us a mind. That's enough for today. Anybody have any response? Do you understand that these kinds of pronouncements, or what we looked at this morning, are the essence of all of the prophets? And if this isn't true, what I'm saying, that it represents what's going on in your mind, your Jerusalem that now is, then they are meaningless. It's like unless you see in Leviticus, the mystery of Christ in its completeness, it's just a bunch of meaningless ancient customs. That's why the book of the Bible, it has the greatest revelation of Christ, as the least studied book in the Bible by many surveys. So I spent so much time on Leviticus because I knew that if that must, that the mystery was hidden there. you think? Mr. Bojo? Make sense a little bit?
Nothing new under the sun.
All right, take it, big guy.